For even if one cuts a tree, it never protests, and even if it is drying up and dying, it does not ask anyone for water. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Do you want to like to read that one of the ladies? Thank you. Amayana timirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakarun militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was asking Patrick, you haven't got a second mic. Oh, he's got it there. Yeah, he's got one. Yeah. Thanks. The practice of forbearance, taro iva sahishnuna, is very difficult. But when one actually engages in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, the quality of forbearance automatically develops. A person advanced in spiritual consciousness through the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra need not practice to develop it separately, for a devotee develops all good qualities simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra regularly. Hare Krishna. So this is Lord Chaitanya speaking about the glories of the holy name. In the section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita entitled Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in His Youth, which is Krishnadas Kaviraj giving us a brief summary before he explains a little more. So I just want to go through this purport first of all and say what I understand Srila Prabhupada to be saying. So the first point I see here is that forbearance or tolerance is difficult. But if we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, it will automatically develop. So by that I understand that there is no need to make any extraneous or separate endeavor, that merely by the process of chanting, we will find that our tolerance will increase. Our tolerance, I understand, means our ability to endure both difficult external situations, circumstances, of course, when we're under duress, and also to tolerate the urges of the mind and senses is another form of tolerance. So this should develop merely by the process of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And Srila Prabhupada goes on, a person advanced in spiritual consciousness through the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra need not practice to develop it separately, for this happens just by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So another thing I get, he says advanced in spiritual consciousness. So from that I understand it isn't necessarily going to happen very quickly. It will take time. So by our regular chanting of the Maha Mantra, this should occur. So forbearance is one thing, and then he goes on to say he develops all good qualities. So I did a little research to see what other good qualities are there, and here is one verse. Do you want to pass the mic? What I'm going to try and do is get other to get you reading these verses so that we can all join in. So if you were thinking of catching up on a bit of rest, you're out of luck. Anybody like to read this verse? Prabhuji.
Tikshwaha karunika surida sarvadehinam ajata satrava santaha sadhava sadhubhushana. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities, and he has no enemies. He is peaceful, he abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. Yeah.
Thank you. So yeah, this is a famous verse from Srimad Bhagavatam that includes tolerance, titikshava. This is one of the qualities. But as well as that, he's merciful, he's friendly, he has no enemies, he's peaceful, he follows all the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. So he's a very wonderful person. And this occurs, this appears within the body of a sadhu, of a person who's advanced in the process of Krishna consciousness, chanting Hare Krishna. Here's another one. What we can do is get a few men reading, and then I'll transfer the mic across. The ladies can have a go. Someone like to read this?
A pure devotee of the Lord automatically develops all godly qualities. And some of the prominent features of those qualities are as follows. He is kind, peaceful, truthful, equable, faultless, magnanimous, mild, clean, non-possessive, a well-wisher to all, satisfied, surrendered to Krishna, without hankering, simple, fixed, self-controlled, a balanced eater, sane, mannerly, prideless, grave, sympathetic, friendly, poetic, expert, and silent.
So, thank you. So, hands up, who's got all 26 of these qualities? This is, of course, a very exalted platform, but this is the pure devotee. So it should be expected that each of us, by our practices, and Prabhupada saying it here as well, will automatically develop these qualities. Kind, peaceful, truthful, equable, so faultless. But, you know, when we think about it, we may think, well, is this really happening? Am I actually moving towards these qualities? We do see that in Vaishnav, in our Vaishnav society, Vaishnav community, sometimes devotees exhibit quite the opposite of some of these. Or we may find ourselves becoming angry, becoming not feeling peaceful, especially these days in the face of so many stressful situations. Peace may be something that we very rarely experience. And we may find ourselves challenged on many of them, magnanimous, that to be very charitable, to be very generous towards others. Are we doing that? Non-possessive. So it's all up to each of us really to introspect, but I find myself sometimes wondering, am I actually making progress in this respect, even after many years of practice? So I therefore wondered, well, maybe there are other factors that we have to take into consideration, as well as chanting, because here we were seeing that Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya are telling us just by the process of chanting Hare Krishna, all these qualities should come about. So what else do we need to think about? Here's one very important factor that we need to consider. Would someone like to read this one?
If one is infested with the 10 offenses in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, despite his endeavor to chant the holy name for many births, he will not get the love of Godhead that is the ultimate goal of this chanting.
Yes. So, 10 offenses to the holy name. Those of you who attend the morning program, the Mangalati, will recite these every single morning, straight after Mangalati. So these are the 10 offenses here. Would someone like to read those 10 offenses? Yeah, okay, thanks.
These offenses are: 1. Blaspheming a devotee of the Lord. 2. Considering the Lord and the demigods on the same level or thinking that there are many gods. 3. Neglecting the orders of the spiritual master. 4. Minimizing the authority of the scriptures, the Vedas. 5. Interpreting the holy names of God. 6. Committing sins on the strength of chanting. 7. Instructing the glories of the Lord's names to the unfaithful. 8. Comparing the holy name with material piety. 9. Being inattentive while chanting the holy name. 10. Remaining attached to material things in spite of chanting the holy names.
Thank you, Prabhu. So yeah, these are the 10 offenses that must be avoided. And so the next question that comes to my mind is, well, how are we going to do that? Is it like some kind of mental exercise? Is there some technique I need to employ to avoid these offenses? I may fervently desire to be free of them, but I find myself falling foul of them nevertheless. For example, blaspheming a devotee of the Lord. We may think, you know, well, yes, of course it's not good to offend, but then someone does something which we don't find particularly agreeable, and we feel the need to point that out to them in no uncertain terms. Or we detect what we consider a fault in another devotee, and we think, it's time I called a spade a spade. You know, that's an offense, but it's not an offense if we tell things as they are, after all. Especially these days on the internet, it's so easy to call spades spades when we spot them, when we think we spotted them. You know, someone has a view which is somewhat different to ours, and we think, well, I better point out just how completely wrong he is, and how absolutely correct I am. So we see this going on all the time. These days there are so many subjects which arouse the ire of devotees, I find, you know. So how are we going to get free? There are 10 offenses here. Some of them we may not even be very clear what they mean, to interpret the holy name of the Lord. Imagine the glories of the holy name, comparing the holy name with material piety, being inattentive. This is a major obstacle in chanting. Inattention means, of course, external distractions, chanting our rounds whilst at the same time quickly scanning our phone, or you know, even worse, sometimes I've seen devotees chanting rounds and watching TV at the same time, or you know, involved in a discussion with another devotee. So these things are not easy to give up, the 10 offenses. It's very difficult. So let's move on. So I was thinking, okay, is there something else which can possibly assist me in this endeavor to become free of my offensive attitude? So where are we? Number 6, number 7. So one of the ladies, could you pass over? Would like to read this one.
When we speak of hearing and chanting, it means that not only should one chant and hear of the holy name of the Lord as Rama, Krishna, or systematically the 16 names Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But one should also read and hear the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. The primary practice of Bhakti Yoga will cause the seed already sown in the heart to sprout. And by a regular watering process, as mentioned above, the Bhakti Yoga creeper will begin to grow. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.2.30.
Thank you very much. So I've always found this to be a very important and interesting statement, and it is repeated actually elsewhere by Srila Prabhupada, that of course we speak of chanting and we think immediately of the Maha Mantra, and that is the primary practice of bhakti. There's no question about it. This is the key to our success, to our achieving love of God, is how well we chant the Maha Mantra. And that alone is sufficient. If we're able to chant offenselessly, then we don't need to do anything else. We can just chant Hare Krishna the whole time, and that would be perfection. But, as I've just been saying, we are struggling a bit with that, to be offenseless, to chant without any distraction, to chant without any attachments, not to commit any of the other offenses. So here we see that as well as chanting Hare Krishna, Prabhupada is saying that actually it includes reading and hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. And he includes this, in fact, in the primary practice of Bhakti Yoga. Because really there's no difference between Bhagavad Gita and the Hare Krishna mantra, and Srimad Bhagavatam and the Hare Krishna mantra. These are also fully potent vibrations which can purify us. It's here being stated by Prabhupada that this must be there along with our chanting of Hare Krishna. So I'm going to move on to some more quotes from Srila Prabhupada. Another lady like to read this one? Jai, Shishi Radha Gokulananda, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman, Shishi Gornitai Ki Jai.
The highest perfectional thinking for human society is suggested here by Sukadev Goswami, namely sufficient hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. For men in this age of Kali, when they have lost the perfect vision of life, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the torchlight by which to see the real path. Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhupada has commented on this Katha Amritam mentioned in this verse and has indicated Srimad Bhagavatam to be the nectarine message of the personality of Godhead. By sufficient hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, the polluted aim of life, namely lording it over matter, will subside, and the people in general in all parts of the world will be able to live a peaceful life of knowledge and bliss. Thus, by the process of Bhakti Yoga, directly accepted as suggested in this verse, by sufficient hearing of the transcendental message of the Lord, the material contamination is directly eliminated without one's attempting to contemplate the impersonal Virat conception of the Lord. And by practicing Bhakti Yoga, if the performer is not purified from the material contamination, he must be a pseudo-devotee. For such an imposture, there is no remedy for being freed from material entanglement. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 2, Text 37.
Thank you. So here's emphasizing hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam. By sufficient hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, the polluted aim of life, namely lording it over matter, will subside. And the people in general, in all parts of the world, will be able to live a peaceful life of knowledge and bliss. So when we scrutinize the 10 offenses, we can see that at their root is the polluted aim of life. The polluted aim of life is to think I'm the enjoyer, the Lord, to want to be the controller of this world. And from that, of course, all attachments arise. Why are we distracted by the material energy? Because we're still attracted to it. We still want to enjoy it. So in our chanting, because when we before we have an attraction for the holy name, we're grappling with our attraction for so many other things. So to get free of that, as well as, of course, the chanting, the 16 rounds or whatever that we do, sufficient hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam is being recommended. And gradually the heart will become purified. I'm going to read to the next one. Nine. Lady, be fine.
Hearing from the text of Srimad Bhagavatam is considered the most important process of hearing. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of transcendental chanting of the holy name, and therefore the chanting and hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam are transcendentally full of mellows. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, great devotees like Shukadeva Goswami have specifically described Lord Krishna's holy name, form, and qualities. Unless one hears about the holy name, form, and qualities of the Lord, one cannot clearly understand the other processes of devotional service. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that one chant the holy name of Krishna, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. If one is fortunate enough to hear from the mouth of realized devotees, he is very easily successful on the path of devotional service. Therefore, hearing of the holy name, form, and qualities of the Lord is essential. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Text 23 to 24.
So, unless one hears about the holy name, form, and qualities of the Lord, one cannot clearly understand the other processes of devotional service. So hearing and chanting are, of course, the primary angas, limbs of bhakti, which precede all the others. And hearing is the first one. And hearing has to be there continually. This is what I'm understanding, that it's not that, well, I've done my hearing, and I've understood I should be chanting, and now I'm just going to chant Hare Krishna, and that'll be fine. No, we have to continually hear, and particularly the Srimad Bhagavatam. And of course, we know that Srila Prabhupada has instituted the Srimad Bhagavatam class as an integral part of our sadhana. Indeed, he went as far as translating the verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Nastaprayeshu Apadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, as by regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam. And this is key to our being able to practice anything else in Krishna consciousness. The nine angas are there, and one may say, well, I like to worship the deity, or I like some other aspect of bhakti. I'm not so into hearing. That's really for the boffins or the gyanis or something. But actually, it's not a gyani practice. It's an anga of bhakti, which has to be there if we want to be successful in any of our other practices. We have to hear sufficiently in the association of devotees. That's the class, the Srimad Bhagavatam class. We hear and we repeat what we've understood. This is Shravanam Kirtanam. And by doing this, we can understand the other processes. So by that I understand that it becomes clearer what we're trying to accomplish in our practices, in our other practices. We're not just doing things externally, moving our limbs and, working for Krishna, but there must be focus, there must be smaranam. Smaranam comes from Shravanam Kirtanam. And then after that come the other angas, archanam, bandhanam, dasyam. So, parasevanam. These things come after the primary practices, which must be there and must remain there throughout our practices, throughout our engagement in Krishna consciousness. And to me, this also has like a practical dimension. I was mentioning the 10 offenses. So one of them is Gauravagya, which is to neglect the orders of the Guru. So if we don't know what the orders are, we're very likely to neglect them. The order of the Guru, of course, there's some very simple ones, to chant 16 rounds, to follow the four regulative principles. But then we have duties. Another of the offenses is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting. So what are those sinful activities? What is the order of the Guru? In the Srimad Bhagavata, in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, in conversation with Krishna, by what is it that one is impelled to sin? He asks, even unwittingly. And by that, Arjuna wasn't thinking of going to the pub and having a pint or eating a bacon sandwich. He was thinking of neglecting his varnashram duties. That was sin as far as he was concerned. So sinful activity means to neglect our duties. And if we don't know what our duties are, there's a chance we'll neglect them. We may think, oh, I'm struggling very much in my household life. It's so difficult. It would be much better and more pleasing to Krishna if I went to Vrindavan just engaged in chanting Hare Krishna. But perhaps we're neglecting something that we shouldn't. Maybe our duty is to remain, even in the face of tribulation and difficulty, and to endure that, and do that in Krishna consciousness. But if we're not regularly hearing and studying Srimad Bhagavatam and hearing from Srila Prabhupada, then we won't know that. We won't understand that. We may become guilty of some dereliction in our duty. Let's have a look at another quote. And who's got the mic over there?
Okay. As for the common man, if he is a good soul, then there's a chance for advancement by hearing. This hearing process is very important. Lord Chaitanya, who preached Krishna consciousness in the modern world, gave great stress to hearing, Because if the common man simply hears from authoritative sources, he can progress, especially according to Lord Chaitanya. If he hears a transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, it is stated therefore that all men should take advantage of hearing from realized souls and gradually become able to understand everything. The worship of the Supreme Lord will then undoubtedly take place. Lord Chaitanya has said that in this age no one needs to change his position, but one should give up the endeavor to understand the absolute truth by speculative reasoning. One should learn to become the servant of those who are in knowledge of the Supreme Lord. If one is fortunate enough to take shelter of a pure devotee, hear from him about self-realization, and follow in his footsteps, one will be gradually elevated to the position of a pure devotee. In this verse particular, the process of hearing is strongly recommended, and this is very appropriate, although the common man is often not as capable as so-called philosophers. Faithful hearing from an authoritative person will help one transcend this material existence and go back to Godhead, back to home. Bhagavad Gita 13:26.
Thank you. So here is a lot of emphasis, of course, on hearing, but also on hearing from the authoritative sources. Prabhupada mentions it several times here. Hear from realized souls, pure devotees, faithful hearing from an authoritative person. So our hearing has to be there, but it must be from the qualified person, the self-realized soul, the authoritative source. So again, this brings me back to like the Bhagavatam class, because this is the opportunity for us to engage in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Srila Prabhupada. This is what we really should be doing. We should be focusing on hearing his words, understanding them, analyzing them, repeating them. This is the primary anger of bhakti. And if we neglect that, then we won't be able to engage in the others, and that includes chanting. I was thinking this is probably one of the reasons why some of us struggle in our chanting, because this aspect, this anga of bhakti, is not there. We're not engaging in seriously hearing from the authoritative source, the self-realized soul, on a regular basis. Actually, Srila Prabhupada many times said in his instructions that we should be hearing at least 1 hour in the morning and 1 hour at night, 2 hours a day, at least, he said. I was reading one statement the other day where he said we should be doing this 8 hours a day. We should be hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, studying 8 hours a day. In fact, in the early days, before actually he began the Hare Krishna movement, before he began ISKCON, he had the League of Devotees in India. You can read about it. There's some documentation associated with that. And one of the things he set up was a program for those who came to him. Unfortunately, not many came. A few came. I think Acharya Prabhaka was there, right? His first disciple. His program was, it was simply hearing and chanting and a little bit of Harinam. It was like maybe an hour of Harinam. They would go out to the local village. But otherwise, they were engaging in studying Bhagavatam, chanting, studying Gita, chanting some more. Hearing and chanting was the focus of the whole thing. And they would go out onto the street, sometimes do the Harinam. But other than that, and when you really look at his books carefully, you find the emphasis is there. You find more than anything else, his emphasis is on hearing and chanting, especially hearing. Hearing is the key, it's the secret, it's the way by which we will achieve success. But we have to hear from the right person. Of course, there are perhaps more than one right person, but we know that Srila Prabhupada is undoubtedly the right person, and he's made his association completely available in his vani, in his books. So we shouldn't neglect that. We shouldn't miss this opportunity. We shouldn't cheat ourselves of this opportunity. And the Bhagavatam class is a wonderful opportunity. So coming back to this point of the class, would someone like to read this?
We should gradually come to the sattva guna so that we may avoid the two lower gunas. This can be done if we regularly discuss Srimad Bhagavatam and hear about Krishna's activities. Nasta prayeshva abdraesu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavad Gita 1.2.18. All the activities of Krishna described in Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning even with the pastime concerning Putna, are transcendental. Therefore, by hearing and discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, the Rajoguna and Tamoguna are subdued so that only Sattvaguna remains. Then Rajoguna and Tamoguna cannot do us any harm. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.31.
Yeah. So, so we were discussing how the good qualities should be automatically developing. So here we see that if we regularly discuss Srimad Bhagavatam and hear about Krishna's activities, then we become free of rajas and tamas. So the problem of why is it that we are not exhibiting good qualities, and in fact often exhibiting the antithesis of them, that we are angry, greedy, lusty, hateful, and these other things which afflict us painfully in the heart, because of rajas and tamas. We are being overpowered by these modes of nature. So we have to come to sattva gun. And this is done by this process. If we regularly discuss the Bhagavatam and hear about Krishna, nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. The abhadra, the unwanted things in the heart, are destroyed. This is achieved like by the process of discussing Bhagavatam. Why did Krishna appear? Why did Krishna manifest his wonderful pastimes? So that we can hear and chant about him. It doesn't matter, we weren't there. Sometimes we may be lamenting, oh, why couldn't I be there during the Lord's pastimes, during Lord Chaitanya's time. How wonderful that would have been. Of course, we'll get that opportunity one day. But the opportunity is there now, that we can actually hear and chant. If we discuss those pastimes, we actually enter into them, we immerse ourselves in them. And the heart becomes purified by hearing about the Lord's activities. Even Prabhupada says here, excuse me, beginning with Putana, the Lord's pastimes in killing, the Lord's pastimes in dancing with other men's wives, the Lord's pastimes doing anything are all transcendental. And by that hearing, by that chanting, we become purified. And then the good qualities begin to manifest. Another thing he said also is in the we should not be speculating. So I understand that the best way to not do that is to focus on the words, to simply try to understand the words of the realized souls, to repeat those words. I was reading the other day that we should pray. One of the angas is Vandanam, praying to the Lord. But Prabhupada says we can't compose our own prayers if we're not realized souls. We should be repeating those prayers offered by the self-realized souls. So I understand that we should be repeating the words of the self-realized soul. We should be assimilating them until we ourselves attain that platform. We're not really able to say much of value ourselves. Of course we can. We can try our best to repeat what we've understood, what we realize from hearing from the self-realized souls. So here's, I've got a couple more slides. Someone like to read that?
The devotees of the Lord constantly discuss the glories of the personality of Godhead among themselves. Thus they constantly remember the Lord and remind one another of his qualities and pastimes. In this way, by the devotion to the principles of Bhakti Yoga, the devotees please the personality of Godhead, who takes away from them everything inauspicious. Being purified of all impediments, the devotees awaken to pure love of Godhead, and thus, even within this world, the spiritualized bodies exhibit symptoms of transcendental ecstasy, such as standing of the bodily hairs on end. Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, verse 3, 31.
Thank you very much. Yeah, so by constantly discussing the glories of the personality of Godhead among themselves, the devotees remember the Lord and remind one another of his qualities and pastimes. In this way, by their devotion to the principles of Bhakti Yoga, the devotees please the personality of Godhead, who takes away from them everything inauspicious. Being purified of all impediments, the devotees awaken to pure love of Godhead, and thus even within this world, their spiritualized bodies exhibit symptoms of transcendental ecstasy, such as standing of the bodily hairs on end. A repulsion. So, Romaharsha, that was the name of the great sage. And just by constantly discussing the glories of the Lord, we become imbued with all good qualities. This is how it develops. And chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is included in that, of course. But let's not neglect this side of it. Let's not waste the opportunity, like in the Bhagavatam class, let's take the opportunity to deeply associate with the words of Srila Prabhupada, try to hear them. And more than that, among ourselves, sometimes we may not even be able to attend the class in the temple, especially when we're householders, it's difficult. But that doesn't mean to say that we can't do this. We can do this at any time. We can, whenever the opportunity is there. And it doesn't mean, well, I don't have sadhu sangha. We do have sadhu sangha. We can discuss with our own family members, our children, our wives, our husbands, whatever. Whoever's there, whoever's willing, it's very easy. We just need to have the book, read the purport, and discuss, what do I understand Prabhupada to be saying? And each of us share with each other. Myself and my wife have developed some methods by which this can be more easily done, and some principles we can apply which make it very effective. We have a website, and I haven't actually put the link here. I should have done that, but I can always tell you if you're interested. So that our family life becomes our satsanga, and we develop these qualities. We help each other. We become each other's shiksha gurus. We become each other's assistants in Krishna consciousness. So, and in this way, we will very soon find ourselves exhibiting these symptoms of transcendental ecstasy, which Prabhupada is talking about here. So now, just to sum up, because we've run out of time, what I understood, the first thing from the verse was that chanting Hare Krishna automatically produces good qualities. All good qualities should occur, especially forbearance and tolerance. Prabhupada mentioned in that verse, I mean Lord Chaitanya. However, the chanting must be offenseless. We must be free of the 10 offenses. Giving up offenses is not just a mental exercise. It requires some very careful thought and study, and indeed cultivation of hearing and chanting. Hearing Gita and the Bhagavatam especially, Prabhupada mentions, this is part of our chanting of japa. It must include this. And by doing that, we become freed from the polluted aim of life, which is lording it over matter, trying to enjoy. And this is the root cause of all our problems and of all the unwanted qualities, the abhadras, which are there in our hearts. The polluted aim of life is forgetting who I really am, thinking myself to be something other than Krishna's servant. Real ego means I am Krishna's servant. False ego means I am the servant of my senses, my mind, my family, everything that comes out of my senses. So this is the polluted aim of life. And hearing the Bhagavatam frees us from that. And that's the cause of our misery, all our misery. without sufficient hearing, we cannot hear properly. So we read that our hearing, our chanting rather, will not be effective if we're not doing sufficient hearing. The hearing must be from a self-realized soul. So it's up to us to decide who that is. But of course it is Srila Prabhupada, and we should contemplate why it was that Srila Prabhupada underwent so much endeavor to produce 60 volumes of books. That was his main focus while he was present. He didn't just write them for whilst he was present. He obviously left them for our utilization now. So let's utilize them. And discuss with other devotees. So this comes up as well repeatedly. Srila Prabhupada says that we shouldn't hear passively. We should be discussing. So again, if we find a partner, someone we can do this with, of course if we can do it in the class, that's good, but it's difficult in this format, 30-40 people present. We're not all going to get a chance for this interaction, and many of us are probably never going to give class, and that means that this chance of kirtan, of repeating what we're hearing, is not necessarily going to come in this kind of forum, but it can be there very easily in our own home, with our own family members, with our own friends. We just get together. Lord Chaitanya said, come together, 10 of you, 12 of you, and hear and chant together. In the purport of the Amara Agya verse, that is, all of you become guru, Lord Chaitanya says that sometimes people ask, do I need to come and live in the temple? But Prabhupada said, but this is not actually our mission. He writes in that purport, our mission is sthanesthita shrutikata. You stay where you are. You stay in your home. And there you become Krishna conscious. In this way, liberate the land. In other words, every one of you should become guru. Every one of you should be engaging in this process of hearing and chanting. So we can do that very easily. And it's so simple because we have Prabhupada's books. We just open up the book and there is the association of the Uttama Adhikari right there on the page. There's no difference between the instructions of the guru and himself, his vapu and his vani. The vani is more important. So we have that there and we just read it. And then what do I understand him to be saying? That way we're repeating. We're doing Shravanam Kirtanam. And with our partner can repeat back what we've said, what they understand, and this way we've developed some very nice system by which this can be done effectively on our website, improvingsangha.wordpress.com. If you look up Improving Sangha on the internet, you'll bring it up. So by hearing and discussing the Bhagavatam with other devotees, we become free of rajas and tamas. And how we want to be free of that? Of course we want to be free of that. That's the cause of our suffering. Why are we suffering? Because of rajas and tamas, lust and greed, envy, hatred. These things are causing pain to the heart. And when they're gone, all the good qualities will develop. Those 26 wonderful qualities that we read earlier will begin to manifest in our person. So I'm going to stop there because it's 9:15. Does anyone have any questions?